This is Radio RSA, the voice of South Africa. They were my dearest friends, always had been, always will be. Petal and Christopher Farringford. I once proposed to her, but she told me she loved me far too much to marry me. A month later, she went to the altar with my best friend, and I spent the next 5 years puzzling out how a beautiful girl could possibly love someone too much to marry them. I went abroad. China, Australia, East Africa. I enjoyed good times, experienced the ebb and flow of fortune. Never married. Never forgot Petal. Then one day, I grew sick of travelling. I'd made money, but I didn't have much I wanted to do with it. So I sent a telegram to Sea Point, Denbridge, the Isle of Wight, on the off chance that the Farringfords still lived there. They did, with 4 children. She was lovelier than ever. It was Christmas time. December the 19th, as a matter of fact. The strangest Christmas I've ever known. My story doesn't directly concern the gorgeous Petal or her husband, Chris. It concerns another. And oh my days, my memory. I shall never, never forget her.
In our series, Beyond Midnight, we present A Time for Thunder, written and produced by Michael McCabe.
It's been a terrible 10 years, Dave. She gets hysterical at the drop of a hat. Could lose her any day now, you know. Carried away in a fit of laughter. R.I.P.
Oh, give me a drink. Oh.
You know what the time is?
I haven't a clue.
That one was nearer. What is the time? My friends, the hour is 3 of the morn.
Oh, night is young. Drink.
That's not what you're going to be saying at 6:30 when Steve wakes up.
Why isn't it Christmas Day yet? Why? I want it to be Christmas Day now.
You made him out to be mentally deficient.
He is.
Oh. They say the father always gives the favorite the toughest time. Hmm? What's it like to be back on the island again after so long, Dave? Oh, 10 years.
Children, bye-byes. Dave, you're staying till the new year, and that's that. No argument. In which case... Oh, there's a whole week to hear the Fletcher impressions on returning to my island home. Bed.
But it's only 5:30. What did you say?
Dawn's coming. Look. It's going to be wet tomorrow, too. Today, I should say. Bed. Go and take the chill off the sheets.
You do look tired, Dave, darling.
Thank you. chaise here. Even up and a girl. I write and they still publish me, thank heaven. I read A Gift of Sand. I didn't lie.
Wasn't so happy with that one. Reviews weren't too. Oh, what's up? Lightning out at sea there. You know. Where did that come from? What? Oh, the picture. Painting. We earthed it out of the cellar. Pretty, isn't she?
Oh, she's exquisite. Hold the candle. No. Yes, just. Oh, Chris. Who is she? Out of the cellar.
Fathered out of us in Napoleon 08 and the Chateau Mia Cutter 91. I was looking for something to burn at the time. I've never been able to chop down even the dead trees around here. And it was a darn cold winter. Only a couple of years ago. We dusted her up and there she is. You'll have to have a proper look tomorrow. She's about 900 years old. Don't threaten. When it comes, it'll wash away my carriages. Okay, Dave. Room's all ready. She put a hot water bottle in, too, so your feet won't freeze off.
Oi! You still there?
I was still there, although it was no longer possible to see the painting of the lady I'd seen in the light of the flickering candle Chris had held. I turned and followed him, said good night, went to my room. That dear lattice-windowed room that looked out over the cliffs to the Solent, and beyond the mist, the mainland. At 4:20, I was still awake. There was a bright moon now. A cloud seemed to have lifted. I watched the moon scudding about in the night sky for a bit, and then, lighting a candle, I went out into the old paneled corridor to find her again, because it was the memory of her that kept me awake, just as that unbelievably beautiful face has disturbed my rest on a thousand nights since. I don't know how long I had stood in that draughty Christmas passageway, looking up at the long dead face, when the lightning made the house on the cliffs bright as day for a moment in time, and the thunder that followed 7 seconds later shook the Farringfords' home back to its genesis.
Agree, sir, that the likeness is a poor one. Sophie is of the opinion that we ought to have engaged the venerable Master Dynan to carry out the commission. But Master Dynan, I fear, is so young, and if they who swear an artist must have experienced the joys and sorrows of life to execute a likeness to another in oils, then pray how in God's sweet land could the venerable Dynan have painted? Is it not the strangest thing imaginable that such as he should be termed venerable? Is it an appendage applied only to persons of note, perhaps? How vain I am to stand before a painting of myself. Wilt thou come down to the dance, sir?
Oh, forgive me, but who are you?
Sir?
I'm afraid I...
A thousand pardons, sir. Didn't thou come to Bembridge with a Ventnor coach? Art thou the American gentleman? If thou art the American gentleman, pardon me, sir, for seeming familiar. Papa swore thou wilt be good enough to tell Sophie and myself about the fierce redskin men who inhabit part of thy land.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
Annabel Trevelyan, sir. I beg your pardon once more, sir, but who should I be?
No, I...
Oh. Dear stranger, thy dress is a perfect delight. Thou hast come to the ball in the disguise of a redskin. I swear there shall be no more, and Papa shall be delighted.
The air was full of sounds. The place where I stood was the same, and yet it was not the same. New smells assailed my nostrils. There was a new feel about the very air that surrounded me. And before me, come down from the picture, it seemed, come into life, was... There aren't any words. If I say beautiful, delightful, exquisite, lovely, divine, every term I've ever heard to describe a woman would be an insult to her. No thesaurus contains a word that would do her justice. She was the girl in the painting. Her name was Annabel, and she stood before me, and I saw her in candlelight mingled with moonlight that streamed through the window directly behind her. She was fair, and her hair reached to her waist. It was made in a style unfamiliar to me then. She wore a ball gown of a shade of blue I'd never seen before, and never have since, but this may have been the effect of the moonlight. I don't know. I lifted the candle higher, and the burning wax dropped onto my cuff and my wrist, but I felt nothing. Oh, the sweep of that lovely hair, the full, wonderful lips that held both sensuality and maidenliness in their slight departed, inquiring attitude. There was the hint of a smile as well. The eyes were laughing, and yet they were serious too. The eyes seemed grey, I couldn't say for sure. My candle was beginning to stutter. I was afraid of losing the light, afraid of losing the vision before me. Her head was inclined slightly to the left. A frown appeared upon her forehead, making her beauty greater, if anything. Men were playing music somewhere. Music not of this age, played by men who were not of my time born. And Annabel Trevelyan and I stood as if frozen, mesmerized, while a younger moon swam and sailed like a galleon held unwilling captive by fighting clouds out through the window, where the gardens reach to the cliffs of Bembridge.
Who are you, sir?
This is your house? Why do you laugh?
Oh, it is my father's, sir. How quaint thy words are. Do not jest, sir, I pray thee. Thou art the American who is to visit us for the Christmastide. Papa cannot know of thy arrival. Must I go to inform him?
No, I'm not the American. Not American.
Then...
Annabel.
David. Hast thou... come here from Freshwater?
Christmas. It's Christmas time.
Yes. Christmas 1737, by the grace of God.
If the thundercrack had turned time inside out, killed time and plunged me down the ages into the ashes of time. I knew fear and at the same time exultation, for now I knew the girl before me was no ghost. My eyes never left hers. I stretched out a hand. You're trembling.
I?
Trembling. Don't be afraid, please.
Afraid?
You are afraid of me.
Good sir, for a little while I did fear. I feared lest perhaps I was the spirit.
Spirit?
But flesh upon my fingers, 'tis real and earthly enough.
Annabelle.
The light.
Candles burn faster. I haven't any matches, I'm afraid. But it's all right.
Perhaps we should go into the light, sir. To the dance.
And at that moment a bank of black clouds moved in from the Solent and covered the moon. The dark was the deepest I have ever known.
I did dream of thy arrival here.
Dream?
Sophie carried Pumpkin into the wheat. Pumpkin is my good sister's pet dog. He is from Ireland, and his family passed back to the ancient kings. Oh, no matter. My good sister...
Yes?
I feel your eyes.
I can't. I can see nothing.
I dreamed of thee, lying in the wheat field.
Dream?
A gentleman from another place, and he came to Bembridge and his face. It was your face, sir.
You dreamed this?
Many times. And the gentleman did take my hand.
I have your hand.
And he did raise it to his lips. And his kiss was like icicles.
Annabelle? Annabelle? Annabelle?
Please, sir, I pray. Do not raise thy voice.
Annabelle, please... Don't be afraid. I promise I won't harm you. I promise I couldn't harm you. I love you.
The gentleman in my dream, sir. He swore love for me.
Dave, it's my name. Don't call me sir.
Not sir.
No.
There will be a storm, David.
In your dream, This man...
The stranger.
The stranger. Who was he? What?
He came from another place.
Another time.
And he swore his love for me.
I love you, love you.
And I did swear to love the stranger.
Tell me quickly. There isn't much time.
I love thee. Although I do not know thee, my heart is full of love. But I fear greatly. Why shouldst I fear, David?
Because the storm's coming.
I love the storms across the Solent. I love to watch.
I mean, it was a storm that brought us together.
A storm?
And I'm afraid the storm will... Annabelle, your dream, this dream, do you know who he was, the stranger?
You were he.
Yes, but where I came from, do you know, can you guess?
I think thou art from another land, thy speech.
Another land, I come from no more than a few feet away, but in time... Centuries separate us.
It is as if for the whole of this life of mine I have waited for thee, gentle lover. I shall have to inform Papa that from another far country
has come... No, you must tell him nothing, because you see, you must understand...
For the whole of my life I have waited for thee to traverse the seas and walk the island path.
I knew that I didn't have more than a few more minutes with her. I couldn't hope to explain to her what I thought had happened, because what had happened was impossible. I heard the approaching storm. The sky was illuminated by brilliant flashes of ancient lightning, and by these flashes I saw her lovely face, and by every stab of light her face grew lovelier.
If it would please thee, David... Upon Christmas Day, thou couldst accompany us to the morning service.
Your hair smells of summer.
How quaint thou art. Winter is upon us. There is snow upon the fields and Papa fears.
I want to see the snow.
And by successive flashes of lightning, now I saw the fields around Bembridge, and the cliffs, and the bay. It was a strange, white, beautiful, empty world I looked upon. A world I've mourned for since, oh so many times. A world in which a man might walk and run with his beloved for hours, for days, and never meet a single soul other than his heart's delight. A world
unpolluted. A world of beauty, of poetry. My world. But I was born by mistake, out of my time. In the bay of Bembridge, tall masted ships appeared frozen into that ancient sea.
My love.
I've spent a lifetime searching for you, a lifetime.
There shall never come a time again now when we shall not be together.
Annabel, I brought her right hand, her beautiful hand, up to my cheek. Her fingers explored my face in the darkness. By lightning, her face was solemn. I felt the tears falling. I begged her not to cry and tried clumsily, hopelessly, to explain to her that I couldn't stay long. I knew instinctively what the message in the thunder was. It would carry me back over the distance of time. On her hand was a ring. I begged her to give me the ring, and she agreed readily, but I knew that I would never be allowed to carry anything with me on the strangest journey of all.
In the gardens close by the spinney, where the brook overflows in autumn rains, David, stands the Bembridge oak. It is said that a Norman knight did plant it at the time of a conquest. On the northern side, not far from the earth, the oak is scarred, and there is an indentation there. In it shall I place my ring?
No, somewhere safe, safe.
Oh, the oak has stood for...
There are axes and men, and oaks can be chopped down. This house, somewhere in this house.
Here? But houses, my love, houses...
Annabel, I come from another... In my time, this house is still standing. Please, where?
In the library in the northern wing. If thou departest from me, then I shall secrete this ring.
Where?
The monk's den. Oh, never in all the world was the sky so angry. Lightning like day.
The thunder's coming. The loudest of all. Goodbye.
No!
Forget Annabel.
Dave?
You're all right, David, darling.
Please, the ring.
Oh, can't you sleep? All these terrible electric storms. Dave?
He's looking at the picture again. Got to think about her, haven't you, old son? Blimey, not worth going back to bed. Let's have some tea and decorate the Christmas.
How'd you know about the library? That was pulled down before I ever knew you, wasn't it? Yes, that whole wing went... when I was a kid.
Oh, not... It's gone.
Yes, why? What's up? I'm glad they did pull the place down, actually.
Otherwise, we'd never have had our family heirloom.
Hmm?
Look, isn't it beautiful?
Oh, only allowed to wear it in high days and holidays, mind. Very precious. Dad found it behind the panelling in a sort of cubbyhole cupboard place.
Priest's hole, darling, not cubbyhole. It's where during the persecution of the Catholics they...
Let me see. Yes.
Hmm?
Quite a few bits and pieces in there, so my dad told me. Letters, bits of rag, all in a box. It's a...
Letters?
David!
What's...
Darling,
the...
you're most odd this morning.
Where are the letters?
Do you have a nightmare?
I haven't a clue, old son. More tea?
Chris, petal love, forgive me, but it's important. Have you... I mean, are the letters still...
Well, I never saw them. I suppose the old boy heaved them away. I mean, there wasn't anything that...
She wrote to me. Oh, yes, she did. I'll never have the proof, because the letters were never found. But I don't require any proof. You might, but I don't care about that. I know what I know, and she wrote to me. Perhaps the next day. And her ring. Her ring was on the hand of Petal Farringford. Her ring from all those years away. I had nothing of her but a memory. A memory more vivid, recalled in flashes of lightning, than people I've known all my life. In fact, their faces fade. I can't remember them clearly. I only see her face. My poor dear friends Petal and Chris thought I'd taken leave of my senses. Because that Christmas... Whilst most of the island people were celebrating, I toured the churchyards of Bembridge and Sandown, Whitecliff Bay, and even as far as Ryde. I found what I was looking for in the end. My patience was rewarded. It was overgrown, and I had to carefully clean the weathered stone to read, "In loving memory of Annabel, only daughter of the Trevelyans of Bembridge, born April the 15th, 1718, died February the 4th, 1738. 20 years old. I had loved her a few days before Christmas, 1737. She died a little more than a month afterwards. Of a broken heart? She wrote words to another who had yet to be born, and yet he had kissed her and sworn his love for her. And I shall keep that love holy. There's no one I can ever love now, only her memory. I have the painting. The Farringtons gave it to me. I don't look at it often, though. Somehow my memory is purer. The picture's likeness fades, and the face I see, when I close my eyes, brightens. Thunder took me to her, and thunder took me from her. Annabel Trevelyan, Bembridge. You've been listening to A Time for Thunder, written and produced by Michael McCabe for the Overseas Transcription Service of the South African Broadcasting Corporation.